1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is God's word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, throughout the Bible, three great virtues are so often mentioned together. And they're the three virtues that are mentioned here at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Faith, hope, and love. And faith, hope, and love are very interdependent Christian graces. Even just missing one of them, you see a distortion in the Christian life. If you just take one away, the result is a pitiful situation. Paul has said that earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, that you can have a great faith, but if it's not mingled with love, it's nothing. And you could do that with any one of these virtues. Hope and love without faith would be groundless. Faith and hope without love would be nothing. Faith and love without hope would be hopeless. You see, they're all interconnected. And when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, we see these interconnections spelled out individually. Look again at verse 7. Speaking of love, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Last time we considered the first element in that verse, love always protects, or perhaps better translated, love bears all things. And now we come to the second, in the NIV translated, love always trusts. There in the middle, trust and hope. Belief and hope, faith and hope. Now, as with the first item in verse 7, translations vary. We have the all or always issue in translating that Greek word. Should we translate the word love bears all things, or should we translate it always bears things? The word can be translated either way, and there are great truths in either translation. There's a broadness there. And there is a nuance of difference between translating the Greek verb here as in the second element as always trusts, whether we translate that verb as trust or as believe. The Greek word is the word for faith. And so we can see how faith really can yield both those senses. It has to do with believing something, but also has to do with trusting someone. Both are involved in faith. And so there's a range of translations here in the English. And that second element in verse 7, which is our focus tonight, in the NIV, love always trusts. And so you have many English translations, probably most of them, translating this second element as love believes all things. Love believes all things. Now, when we hear words like that, Paul is saying, here's a description of love, and this is one aspect of love believes everything. Love believes all things. Right away, you understand that we have to have some cautions about that. We have to understand this biblically. This is not an endorsement of gullibility. This isn't saying that Christians should be gullible, that we are just people who believe anything. And Peter says, don't believe everything. Test the spirits. And test them according to the word of God. Proverbs 14:15 says, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. So this isn't a blanket endorsement of being a gullible person, just to believe everything. We had a cruel kind of award in our graduating class in high school, the most gullible award. I always felt badly about that kind of award. The young lady who won the award that year, they said, and the winner for the most gullible award this year is so-and-so. And she started walking up to the front, and they said, no, you really didn't win. And she turned around and went back to her seat. But, of course, she had won, and she had just proved that she had won by going back to her seat. But gullibility, believing anything, is not what Paul is saying here. He says, love believes all things. We are to test things out. Proverbs 18:17, the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. Have you had that experience? You hear something, you say, boy, yeah, that sounds good. Until you hear another perspective, you say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we need to think. We need to be thinking carefully as Christians, testing things according to the word of God. So, love does not equal or should not equal credulity, just that we believe anything and everything. We've all seen situations where the obvious behavior of an individual is denied or ignored because the person is a loved one. You know, we say that's not right, it's not helpful, it's not good. That things are just passed over and said, no, I can't, I want to only always believe the best of that person. I won't believe that they're doing this because they're a loved one. Many kinds of love can be blind, but biblical love is to have its eyes wide open. And yet, on the other hand, love is to believe all things. There is a wrong spirit or attitude that I think can be addressed by the words of Paul here. If we love others, and it is to love that we are called, we shouldn't be people who are primarily suspicious or cynical. Love believes all things. We're not to be naive, but I think we're not also to be jaded either. Love believes all things. If we love others, we ought to have a desire to believe the best about them. We've already considered from this chapter, love thinks no evil. It puts the best possible construction on other people's motives and words and actions. So love thinks no evil. It's kind of the negative way of stating here, love believes all things. We are to love others as we love ourselves. And we would appreciate the benefit of the doubt for us, when that may be in question. When Paul connects love and belief, or love and trust, we can see then how these are very closely connected. When we really love someone, we want to believe them. We want to believe them. And when we find someone who is truthful and trustworthy, it engenders love. It calls forth love from us. But you see, because that connection exists, we know how easily disappointment and disillusionment can arise. It's because love and trust and love and belief are so connected, so interdependent, that when sin gets mingled in with it, we see how easily these things lead to disappointment and disillusionment. Because we are not people who are perfectly truthful and completely faithful. Love believes all things. It always trusts. But because of sin, there are just so many reasons where we just can't believe all things, where that kind of complete trust is just not warranted because of sin. Love would believe all things, but when that belief and trust is shattered, when someone simply can't be believed or trusted, love is challenged then. And when we don't love others, when the love of others isn't directing us and controlling us, it's easier and easier to think evil of others almost continually, to have that cynical, suspicious attitude and perspective. Just think politician. Can they be believed? Can they be trusted? It's just almost a given in our society that once someone enters politics, well, you just can't listen, you just can't believe what they say anymore. Just can't trust them. Think politician. But then think of your own heart. It's always easy to point to people out there and say, he's not trustworthy. She's not believable. But we always need to bring it back and to think about our own hearts. If people could see and know our thoughts, maybe you've got your actions and your words together, but if people could see your thoughts day in and day out and know what goes on in your heart, our glittering reputations would be slightly tarnished, wouldn't they? We live in a world that cries out, who can I trust? Who can I trust? Who can I believe? And we're not people that we can point to and say to the world, well, you just believe whatever I say. Just look at my life. Just trust me. We can't be those people. Who can I trust? The world is saying that. Who is there that we can really believe and trust? Well, as Christians, we have the answer from the Bible. Who can you trust, boys and girls? Who can you trust? You know, you like to say, well, I can trust my mom and my dad, and I hope you can, and I hope you do to a degree, but you know, as you are, you will find out, if you haven't found out already, that mom and dad are sinful. That mom and dad are going to say things and do things that are wrong. And to have a complete trust in a mom or a dad is not warranted. It won't last if you've had it already. Moms and dads can't be the ones you trust in. You may think, well, I can trust in my pastor. We're all sinners. And every pastor that's ever pastored on this earth, except one, is a sinner. And if people put their ultimate hope and trust and belief in their pastor, they will be disappointed. And they will be disillusioned. Guaranteed. Who can you trust? Who can you believe implicitly? I hope you know the answer. Do you? Who can you trust? God. The Bible says you can and you must trust God. And God has shown his truthfulness and his faithfulness throughout the Bible and throughout history. In Joshua 21:45, the people could say, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled." God is faithful. 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That word amen comes directly from the Hebrew language, and it's related to a word group that means true and faithful. Amen. Whenever we say amen in prayer toward God, we're saying, "God, you are true and you are faithful." And that kind of faithfulness calls forth love. It calls forth love. God, the faithful God, shows his loving kindness, his truthfulness, his faithfulness, most of all in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus kept his promise to his Father to do what was necessary to save the elect. He was faithful to that promise to his Father, even to the point of the cross. We have to understand what that was. The cross that compelled Christ in Gethsemane to pray and to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, to pray to his Father, "May this cup pass from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done." That's how faithful he is. That's how true he is to his promise to his Father. And in being faithful to his Father, there is faithfulness to us, his people. And that faithfulness just calls forth love. When we see the truthfulness and the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ, you'll say, "This is someone to believe. This is someone to trust. This is someone to love." Love is shown by belief and trust. One writer said, "Where there is a holy trust in God, there is love to God." Love believes all things. It certainly then believes that God exists. Jonathan Edwards said, "A being cannot be truly loved, especially loved above all beings, who is not looked upon as a real being." We love God. Love believes all things. Certainly we believe he exists. We love him. And the more we know about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the more we are acquainted with his love to us in the gospel, the more we are compelled to believe in him and to believe him. He's shown us his faithfulness. He's shown us his trustworthiness in the cross. And because of the truthfulness of the cross, then we can say, with this God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown such love to me that I cannot but love him in return, with him I believe all things. I believe all things. Do you love God? Do you love God? Then love believes all things. If you really love God, you will believe his word. And not just bits and pieces of his word. You will believe all things that he has revealed in his word. Your love is based, isn't it, on his trustworthiness, his truthfulness. So that love will believe all things that God has spoken to us in his word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God can be prepared for every good work. Love believes all things that God has spoken. And we are to examine our love by our faith, by our belief. For our love to be real, our faith must be real. For our love to be real, our faith must be real. Imagine someone who reads Jane Austen, the author, and becomes infatuated with Mr. Knightley, this character here. He's such a gentleman. And someone's reading these books, they become infatuated with Mr. Knightley, and you'd speak to them, they'd say, "Oh, I love him," they'd say. But deep down, they know they're reading a book. They know that he really doesn't exist. So that love that they speak of, that affection that they would have, is merely a romantic notion. It's no real affection and can certainly not be the foundation for any real change, hopefully, in someone's behavior. But you know, many people have a romantic sense of God. They have just kind of a traditionalistic, cultural, almost romantic notion of God. And they might say they love him. Do you love God? Of course I love God. But practically, their unbelief, their real deep-seated unbelief, outweighs their love, and their profession of love to God doesn't change their lives in real ways. This is what Jonathan Edwards was saying when he wrote this. Persons should examine their love by their faith. Love believes. Love believes all things. If they seem to have an affectionate love toward God and Christ, they should inquire whether or not this is accompanied by a real conviction of soul of the reality of Christ and of the truth of the gospel that reveals him. And with full conviction that he is the Son of God, the only, the all-glorious, the all-sufficient Savior. Here is the one great difference between false affections and true ones. False affections are not accompanied with this conviction, and they do not see the truth and reality of divine things. And therefore, such affections are very little to be depended on. Love believes all things. They are very much, Edwards went on to say, like the affection we may have toward a person we are reading of in a romance, and whom we at the same time suppose to be none other than an imaginary person. Such affections, as are not accompanied with conviction, will never carry men very far in duty or influence them to any great extent, either in doing or in suffering. Do you love God? Love believes all things. The mingling of faith and love. Gospel love, Spirit-produced love, believes all things. And the more that that kind of love learns and believes about God, the more it trusts him. The more it trusts him. And here's the other possible translation of these words that we have in the New International Version. Love always trusts. Love always trusts. When we are truly convinced from Scripture of God's nature and God's character, as revealed in Jesus Christ, we will love him and trust him. Love always trusts. And when it's God who is being loved, that trust is always warranted. He is the faithful God. Whatever this coming year might hold for you, however your life might change, over the course of these coming months and this new year, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Love always trusts. Trust him. Always. Trust him always. You love him as he first loved you, and he showed his love in the greatest way by sending his Son. Surely we can trust him. Surely we must trust him with everything else. Those who know your name, it says in Psalm 9, those who know who God is, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. John says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And that same Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Love believes all things. Love always trusts.